the most deceitful. Ahite, enemy. Nashte, is finished. Ritamule, having its roots cut off. Vanaspato, a tree. Vitapaha, the branches and leaves. Shiva, like. Shashyanti, dry up. Vishnu Pranaha, whose life is Lord Vishnu. Deva Okasaha, the demigods. Translation. When the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the devotees who were not here yesterday, this is Hiranyakashipu who speaks. He's a demon. Not. Don't be shocked. So when the root of a tree is cut and the tree falls down, its branches and twigs automatically dry up. Similarly, when I have killed this diplomatic Vishnu, the demigods, for whom Lord Vishnu is the life and soul, will lose the source of their life and wither away. Purport. The difference between the demigods and the demons is here explained. The demigods always follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the demons simply plan to disturb or even kill him. Nevertheless, sometimes the demons very much appreciate the full dependence of the demigods upon the mercy of the Lord. This is indirect glorification of the demigods by the demons. So I want to also read the next verse. Tavat yada bhuvam yujam brahmachatra sameditam. Du sagst, du bist auf der mentalen Ebene, Gurangi, du musst jetzt zuhören. Warst eben in Sarajevo oder irgendwo. Shodadyam tapo yagya svadhyaya vratadhanidam. Translation. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows, and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. This is Hiranyakashipu. He sends now his demons down to planet Earth to destroy all the brahmanas and so on. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all the other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvanyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. On all the planets, there are different types of residents, but the Lord recommends referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings, that society be divided into four varnas. Without the supreme, so then Prabhupada talks about the four varnas, and the different activities which they do, and it's a very long, long purport, and I will just summarize it for you. Then Prabhupada talks about the necessity of yajna, which we need from the devatas. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese, and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord, with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attained by performance of yajñas. If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of the Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in material existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves, and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialists, thieves, have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajñas. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajña, namely the Sankirtan yajña, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of Earth so that yajña would stop and the demigods, being disturbed, would die automatically. When Lord Vishnu, the Yajñeshwara, was killed, and these were the demoniac plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities. Akirada. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simad Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavad Paskatyati Vatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyarveta Garadha Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here sehen wir, in devotee in weißen Hemd, here we see interesting perspective, the demoniac worldview, which is based on hatred towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Hiranyakashipu here understands that the devotees of Krishna, the devatas, are totally dependent on the Lord. Therefore he thinks, if I want to finish all the devotees of Krishna, I just need to finish Krishna. Just like if you want to finish all the leaves and branches of a tree, you just hack down the whole tree, and then all the leaves and branches will automatically be destroyed. So this is his plan. He wants to attack Vishnu, and in this way finish all the demigods. Then he says, just to make sure that I will really get all the devatas, I will simply kill the people on earth who give them strength by their yajñas, by their sacrifices, by their Vedic studies and following of regulative vows. Then I will be able to kill all these people. This is the demoniac mentality, which is very, very deeply described here. So I think the point is clear. It is a point which always came with many, many demons. They always wanted to destroy the Lord in some ways, and they knew that with the destruction of Krishna, all the other purposes, that is, all the saintly people and all the activities, would be also stopped. So it's really not that I want to discuss much on this. Today I want to give a little special lecture. I thought, since the Prabhupada centennial is soon coming, I will give a lecture on Srila Prabhupada. And to be more specific, I've noted down a few relevant instructions which we will just discuss today. I will not put these instructions in the in an order, sequential order, because it's very that would take a long, long time. I will just read to you. One interesting point Prabhupada made about Gonitai deities. Srila Prabhupada at one stage in his life said that he, if it was up to him, he would just have installed Gonitai deities all over his movement. It was when he came to Honolulu, or Honolulu? There were some serious problems in the movement in Honolulu, but still, when he came in the temple room, the kirtan was ecstatic, and he just had a almost moist eyes, and they said, yes, where Gonitai are, all problems go, because when we worship Gonitai, they don't consider the offenses. So here I want to say, read something to you. Last May, when Srila Prabhupada officially opened this temple in Melbourne and installed the large 4-foot high brass deities of C.C. Gonitai, he referred to the temple as Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Now, after seeing the beautiful deities, his thoughts turned once again to the merciful nature of the two divine brothers, and he commented that Gonitai worship is so nice that they can be worshipped merely by performing kirtan. See, this is so wonderful. When you have Gonitai, they are satisfied just if a devotee does nice kirtans. from time to time. This is a very, very important instruction for preachers. We can help people by installing Goni Thai in the temple and then in the house, and then all perfection comes. Nice for Krishna connections, isn't it? Prabhupada even said to one devotee he should make these small Goni Thai deities, and they should be distributed all over as Hare Krishna dolls. You might remember these mamushkas from Russia. You know, you have a big mamushka, fat potato eating mamushka, and then you open it, there's another mamushka in, and you open it, you have maybe 10 mamushkas. So the Goni Thai could be kept in the same way people have these mamushka dolls. Nothing more is required. So now the next point, I'm just throwing pearls around in the audience, and you can capture whichever pearl suits you best, is about spiritual master. Prabhupada was discussing with a journalist that nobody is happy in this world. The hawk is thinking he is happy, but that's an illusion. The dog may be a very big dog, and he can bark very nicely, but he is not happy because he has got a master. As soon as the master says, "Come here," the dog says, "Yes," and then chain. Kette sagt man in Deutsch. So this journalist was very aggressive. She said, "But all of these people here have a mouth, and you do the same to them. You call them and they jump. That's the same as a dog coming to its master." Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes." "But to have a real master and to have a false master, just like a physician. A physician is also with a knife, and the rogue is also with a knife. When the physician says, 'You lay down, I shall have some surgical operation,' a person agrees, and then his body is plied with a knife. Sein Körper wird mit einem, von einem Messer durchpflügt." So ply heißt pflügen. "But he'll never agree if he knows that he is a rogue." Ein Schuft. He'll simply cut my throat. That is the difference. But superficially, you see both of them are with knife. But one for real happiness and one for false thing." Samir, you're in Heidelberg. We were just discussing the difference between a real spiritual master and a false. It's like the, in other words, like the difference between a rogue who has a knife and a surgeon who has a knife. The one cuts you for misery, and the other for real happiness. By the way, sadhu means to cut. I think it's nice to hear how Prabhupada preaches. Yes. So now I want to speak read something to you on surrender, Prabhupada and surrender. The audience was attentive and asked pertinent questions. Someone inquired how to surrender to Krishna, and Prabhupada quoted a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing how everything in his possession, his house, wife, children, was meant for the service of Krishna without any reservation. That, Prabhupada said, is surrender. An Indian man wanted to know if surrender is made by one's own effort or does it just happen. Prabhupada told him that we are already surrendered. It is just a question of who we are surrendered to. A citizen is either surrendered to the government or to the police. He can either live according to the law or live in jail. Similarly, we can choose either Krishna or his Maya, but our position is to be always surrendered. Sometimes we hear in our lives how it is important for us to surrender more. I know in this room there are at least three devotees, because I'm also thinking very much about this these days, who really think about surrender in a deep existential way. And I feel that Prabhupada's answer here is really bringing the subject matter to the point. If we are not surrendered, we will be surrendered to something else. It just doesn't happen in any other way. We may say we are independent and free. We may think so. But just to earn the money for our independent and free position puts a lot of surrender into us. Or any person, because we are a little tiny part of God, will be overwhelmed by material circumstances. That means also some type of surrender. Our position, in other words, is always a one of being surrendered. Now this surrender becomes especially pointed or clear when we have a spiritual master. He will tell us, do this, and then the question of surrender is channeled, in other words. See, a river always needs a river bed to flow. If the water just flows, some here, this is a Sunday feast from yesterday. If the water just flows over the, let me say, over an area of land without a riverbed, it will just put everything under water and not do a significant job. But if it has a riverbed, it will fly at the proper place and will go to the proper place. In the same way, surrender must be channeled. We must know what practical activity we should be done for surrender. So, Prabhupada gave a short lecture explaining how the seed of devotion is planted by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Four no's and one yes. That will make your life successful. Prabhupada has such a nice way of putting it, isn't it? I think Jochen is charmed by Prabhupada's language. Four no's and one yes. That will make your life successful. It is very easy. It is not difficult. But Maya is very strong. Sometimes she deviates us. So when there is endeavor by the Maya to deviate us, just pray to Krishna. Please save me. I am surrendered, fully surrendered, and kindly give me protection. And Krishna will give you protection. But don't miss this opportunity. That is my request. I have all my good wishes and blessings upon you. So let us take the opportunity of Bhakti Lata Beach. So, at the time when we are surrendering to our spiritual master, talking of the initiation ceremony, we make certain promises, And one promise is, we promise actually to chant 16 rounds without offenses. That's not an easy promise, as those of you who have a little more years can tell you. But sometimes Maya comes and rattles at our door. Hey, what's about this? Now, there is no chance for the conditioned soul to fight on its own when Maya really comes. When Maya really comes, what she does is she comes from inside. She doesn't come like, but she comes in the mind. Krishna describes the invasion road of Maya. It goes through the mind, through the intelligence. These are the sitting places of lusty desires to enjoy this world. And we become so much pervaded by this desire to enjoy that we can't separate ourselves any longer from it. It's like sugar in water. Can you see sugar in water? No, it has become one. So Maya just enters our mind and we can't see that we are in Maya. We just feel something is not the same as it was before, but we can't really say how we are in Maya. We don't see it so clearly. So at that time, we are in a very dangerous position, because we can't, Maya is inside. Do you follow? You can easily see what's outside. I can easily see Akila Dara, and I saw Samir falling two times asleep this morning because of the Good Sunday preparations. But I can't see my own brain here. Maybe I have a brain tumor and therefore I talk so wild today. No. I can't see what's going on because it's inside. So Maya, at that time when you just feel something is coming, something is different, then you should pray, please save me, Krishna. I'm surrendered, fully surrendered, and kindly give me protection. And Krishna will give you protection. We must, in other words, pray to the Lord. Now, I want to read you. Can you jump so fast? Is it alright? We're just going from one subject to the next. Now we want to talk about what a devotee means. Are you interested? Yes. Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he repeated what he told reporter Carol Jarvis. That was the aggressive reporter who said, your disciples, you have made them like dogs. You screw, say something and they come jump, jump, jump and do it. So Prabhupada repeated that happiness without spiritual understanding is dog's happiness. No happiness at all. He pointed to a large tree and explained that because it was very dull consciousness, it can stand for 5,000 years without discomfort. But if we had to stand for only 5 hours, we would not be able to tolerate it. A tree has such a dull consciousness, it doesn't mind. My friend, this is my friend, the tree, we are brothers in spirit. Often look at him and just wonder that he has a lot of Charanamrita on him, and a lot of garlands they're thrown into him. He will be a devotee next life. He will sit in the Bhakta program. I have no doubt about it. My good wishes are always with him. We are neighbors, so to say. So How can he? But how can he stand? You can't imagine Gaurangi if he. Consciousness is more developed. Therefore, one who has no understanding that he is suffering in the material world is simply an animal. The tree has no understanding. Therefore, he's just a tree. Now, if a human being has no understanding that this misery, material existence, he is an animal. One of the devotees now said that sometimes a devotee is more unhappy than a materialist because he is aware of his unhappiness. This is a fact. Once a devotee wrote me a letter and said, one day I was just distributing paintings and I came to a secretary who was sitting before her chief's office, and she was so happy, and I thought, look at this secretary, she's more happy than me. Sometimes, because devotees, they know, my mind is there, and this is not good, and my heart is dirty, etc. So then, now listen to what Prabhupada says. So the statement is, sometimes a devotee appears to be more unhappy than a materialist because he is aware of his unhappiness. Then that means he is not a devotee, Prabhupada said. Devotee means the first sign will be happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. If he is not Prasanatma, he's a rascal. He has not even entered devotional life. He's outside. That is a test. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. When he saw Vishnu, he said, everything is all right. Don't want anything. Swamin Kirtatusmi. That is Vaishnav. And if he is still in want or unhappiness, that means he has no spiritual life at all. He is simply making a show. Now Akiladara is scratching his sikha. Come easily, Taco. We must put our lives in such a way that we are happily in Krishna consciousness. This would mean that we have to put our lives a little bit in order. There are six things which a devotee wants to do when he wants to put his life in order. The first thing is, he will find out a situation where he can always be enthusiastic. He will pray for this. My dear Lord, give me a slujpa, a service, where I can be enthusiastic. Give me a situation. Then, the next thing is, once he has found his one point, he will be very perseverant there. He will always go this direction, cling. Always on the point. I'm sorry, I just have to illustrate it. So, he will put, then the next thing which a devotee who wants to put his life in order is, he will look for the proper association in his life. He will find devotee friends who can help and elevate him in the life and make some friendship with them. Another thing is, he will try to develop his relationship with his spiritual master and follow in the footsteps of his spiritual master. And when you just do these four simple points, you will get out of the misery of material existence and be always very happy. So Prabhupada then told us a nice story, and I want to end with this story. Prabhupada illustrates the meaning of greatness by telling us an anecdote about Alexander the Great. When a thief was captured and brought before him for punishment, the thief accused Alexander the Great that, "What is the difference between you and me? I am a small thief, you are a big thief. That's all. Why are you punishing me?" "You are a big thief. You are doing the same thing." You remember, Alexander the Great just conquered huge tracts of land. And I think the thief he caught had stolen a cucumber. So normally what was done, he would have his hands chopped off, and then immediately after this, he would put the stumps into hot oil. And that would burn the flesh in such a way that it could heal. This is how it was done. Nichts für Anfänger, ne? So the thief came, and he just looked at Alexander the Great and said, "You are a thief yourself. I'm just a small one guy. You are the big one. You deserve much more." Alexander the Great said, "Let him loose." Prabhupada laughed as he took the role of Alexander. "Yes, what's the difference? I'm a big thief." He went on to explain, "It means Alexander the Great actually was great. Otherwise, he is the emperor and an ordinary thief is accusing him, and he said, 'Yes, I am a thief.' He admitted. That is greatness. If he was not great, then he would have hanged him or punished him." "Oh, you are so? You are accusing me?" "But no, he accepted. That is greatness. Mistake is one fault, but to accept that I have done mistake, that is greatness." I feel we can learn a lot from this. An insecure person will never admit any mistake he or she has done. But a truly great personality will admit the mistake without any problem. Yes. This is all I want to speak today about. Do you have any questions regarding one or two of these points? We can know it in two ways. One is if others tell us, that's the most simple way. Or the other is if we have a humble state of mind. And when we are in a humble state of mind, we usually have eyes to see our own mistakes, even if no one tells us. If we are a little arrogant and puffed up, it's not possible to see our own mistakes, because our vision is covered. Genevieve? Yeah. That you're not surrendered. Well, actually, you are surrendered to Krishna. As a devotee, you have done that step. There might be a little maya, but ultimately you are Krishna. What choice do you have? It's just like, let us say you dream, or maybe, I cannot say, is it 2 hours maybe a night? And in that dream you forget that you are Janavi, but you assume a different identity. Can we therefore say, oh Janavi, you don't really know who you are, because there are 2 hours in the day where you totally ignore the fact that you are Janavi, but you're somewhere in a chemistry laboratory maybe, or on the beach, or riding on wild horses, whatever. So no, we can't really say that you don't know who you are, because of your momentary forgetfulness. So a devotee sometimes maybe come a little covered over by Maya, but he always is surrendered to Krishna. So when you should try to pray, oh, something is not all right, my dear Lord, I'm yours now. I'm a little in danger. My Krishna consciousness is not so on the highest standard, but please forgive me. The same example, by the way, is given in terms of the eternal soul. We say the living entity's original consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So you might say, well, how can we say this? In the material world, everyone has forgotten Krishna. There is no trace of Krishna consciousness, keine Spur. But the argument is, you are always with Krishna. Only sometimes a cloud of forgetfulness comes over you, and that's called material life. This is like a dream. Svapna drashti dur iva, like a dream, this material existence. But you are always with Krishna, and when you wake up to your eternal Krishna consciousness, it can happen in 1 second, then you will be with Krishna like you always were. It's interesting, isn't it? The example has been given of a dreamer who is on the bed and he dreams and thinks so many things, but in reality he is lying there on his bed and he has his natural identity. New concept, huh? I can give you a nice text, because you are our philosopher. It's a very interesting subject. You can come afterwards. Gut. Mukunda mit den guten Fragen. Yes. Yes. Stimmt. Yeah, because the fool's happiness is a dog's happiness. It's not actual happiness. He just thinks he is. Very interesting point. Only the biggest fool is happy, and the transcendentalist, and those who are in the middle, like us, they are unhappy. So Mukunda asks, but Prabhupada says that the fool cannot be happy. That's a fact, but he thinks he is. In Hamburg, there is this You know, there was this idiot, he had a hammer, king, 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 and he was banging it on his head. And then then someone asked him, why are you doing this? He said, you don't know what pleasure is. When I stop doing it, I feel just so pain-free. And this is the materialistic happiness. You know, it's not really happiness, Mukunda. They are doing, it's always happiness and distress are always, die lösen sich immer ab. This is how it works. You cannot become materially happy if there's just happiness, and then you just die from the happiness. Imagine you just eat something. You know, you have to change, you have to become hungry and then eat again. Then only you can enjoy this. So either the materialist is only thinking he is happy, just like our idiot with the hammer. Yeah. The devotee is not yet on the transcendental platform. Does this have something to do with you? He is not yet a devotee even. Prabhupada said, you have to be like Dhruva Maharaj. That's a standard. When Dhruva Maharaj was told what he can have everything, he said, no, I'm sorry, I don't want anything. I found you. Now everything has no meaning for me. Gut, die letzte Frage von Jochen. Ja. What? Don't understand your question. How to see that we are different from the mind? Is that the ultimate question? Please make it simple for a simple man like me. Nice. Yeah. But sometimes not. Oh, really? Well, you are identified with the mind and the thoughts. You have become one in that illusion. You have projected your eternal identity on the mind and think, whatever is going on, that's me. Shulmaya, yeah. See, I'm becoming old now. It's a wonderful experience. I passed through my midlife crisis. Biologically, all the hormones go. Yeah. And it's a wonderful experience how you're different from the body and the mind. It's also good when you have pain. When you see pain, you really see it's only the body. And you have really nothing at all to do with it. Because in young age, you always want to fight with the pain. You want to throw it out of your body because it works. You have that vitality. But when you become a little older and the body is exhausted, especially when you are a preacher who just goes wild and who doesn't eat and sleep, you know, then the body after some time has no strength at all. Now I actually know that there will be always pain in my body. because I'm getting older. It just happens like this, and I have surrendered to this. This is material life. It's in the books. I of course now become very interested to not identify with the body, because I don't. No one wants to have pain, and pain you feel only when you are identified with it. So now comes the next step, is the mind. The body, that's a little easier to try to become indifferent to the body, but now I have to work on the mind. That's my next project. It starts after Gopunim, because before I have to put my room in order. So, all right, I just wanted to thank all of you. Now let me ask something. Do you think this is all right? This is a different lecture. I have not prepared anything, to be very honestly. I thought, anyways, I'm totally unprepared. I just read to you different things from Prabhupada. Could you follow this? Yeah? I think it is interesting to sometimes do this. It's a variety. Wie ist es mit der Wühlmaus? Ginkis, could you hear? Yeah. Hare Krishna. Good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.